Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, as usual, if you can think of three friends to recommend the box set pod to, that would be wonderful. And check out the website, theboxsetpod.com. If you haven't yet downloaded the Acast app, do it, because everything we're talking about, almost everything we talk about, we have little pop-ups, pictures, links to videos, links to other stuff, and it's quite fun. It's quite fun.
Interactive pod.
When you hear that noise, it means there's a bling that pops up, and that's that, okay? Thank you. Welcome to episode 10. Wearing a noisy coat today. I'm going to take it off. It is winter as we record this. Winter in the north. My name's Howell.
And I'm Jamie.
And welcome to Boxhead Pod. First things first, we've upset our first bunch of people on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
So last week we did a Torchwood special, and Jamie couldn't hold back his opinions about John Barrowman.
I
love John Barrowman, right?
I didn't say anything rude about him.
You did. You said he's annoying, you hate him.
No, I didn't.
You said that his bilingualness, his bi-accent thing, when he flips between American and Scottish,
I said that
was rubbish.
I said that I found it weird that he spoke American.
You said he's a phony. BS is what you said.
Let me just say this. I have nothing against Torchwood and John. I think Torchwood's a great show. I enjoyed it very much. Okay. But we got some insults from the Torchwood people. I do not want to cause any ire with the Torchwood fan base. Okay. You're awesome. Please keep listening.
And I love John Barrowman. I've always loved John Barrowman. I think some people, do you know what I think happens? Because we're not like obsessing about just one box set on this podcast, because we obsess about all box sets together, I think what then happens is when you get a world that is completely obsessed with one thing, when they come along, it's very easy to cause offence because they don't realise that we start from a starting point of love and respect. And also comedy.
Also, I don't think it's healthy to just be obsessed with one thing.
Well, no, don't. Here we go. Don't criticise them.
If I was just obsessed with potatoes.
I think it's great to be
obsessed. Wouldn't somebody say, hold on, Jamie, stop eating potatoes. That's all you eat.
I think it's fantastic to be obsessed. Especially when we get tweets like, so once a person said, oh, all I've heard is a load of slagging off of John Barrowman. Really? Won't listen to it then, not wasting my time on ignorant abuse and hate.
It was no abuse.
You, Jamie, have ignorant abuse and hate in your bones. And I've known this for a long time. And I've had to live with this. And it's chipping away at my soul.
I can't deny that there have been times where John Barrowman has got on my nads. And that's all I was saying. But I'm not saying Torchwood wasn't great. And please, do not take offence, okay? We're not going to like everything. And you're not going to like everything we like.
Right.
It's a mutual respect
thing. On the podcast today, David Oyelowo, who is just a huge star of MI5, or Spooks as it was known
and
in Britain.
His massive film Selma is out at the cinemas. And of course, in the press, a lot of press this week has been about David Oyelowo saying how the Oscars, because he got snubbed by the Oscars. We talk about that with him.
Yeah.
But he's talked in a lot of other interviews about how he feels that the Oscars...
Have you just said what we talk about with David Oyelowo before we've spoken to him?
Yes,
Howell. Are you giving away the magic that maybe some of this is...
Some of it might be pre-recorded
together afterwards.
It may indeed be,
We spoke to David yesterday, okay?
But he said in a recent interview that he feels like the Oscars only wants to honour black roles that are subservient black roles, subservient roles. And, you know, it's very controversial statements being said by David Oyelowo at the moment because of the snub that Selma received for the Oscars and for the BAFTAs, actually.
It's hard to disagree with him. I mean, you'll hear in his interview.
We'll hear it.
But that he's clearly a bit annoyed about it. But how can you be annoyed when this is Brad Pitt?
I know that there is one lingering question in the back of your mind.
Talking about your name.
It's a fundamental question. I think it's only fair that we air it out tonight. And that question is, how the hell do you pronounce his name? It's okay. It's all right. I've been there. And I'm here to help. My job tonight is to help you. So if you will say it with me now, David Oyelowo. It's worse than I thought. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Repeat after me. Whoa.
Whoa.
Lowo.
Lowo.
Yellowo.
Yellowo.
Oyelowo.
Oyelowo.
David Oyelowo.
David Oyelowo. Cheers, Brad.
They love him.
Brad. Thanks, Brad. They're helping with the pronouncing of David's name.
He could be up there saying, how? How? How well?
David could say whatever.
How well?
Brad could say whatever he wants.
How well? No, my point is he could have helped me throughout my life, but he didn't, did he?
No,
he gives all this money to charity for people all over the place. Helps David Oyelowo. What's he giving me?
Yeah, but, David Oyelowo's talented owl. Have you got any other more correspondence you want to talk
about? Loads! First of all, who emailed us last week? Is it Jack? From Leeds.
Jack, who wanted a recommendation of a new show to watch.
We recommended that he have a listen to, that he buy...
Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap.
Oh, yeah.
He has bought a series of Quantum Leap.
Really?
Jack, I cannot wait, really. I can't wait to hear from you, your review. Because don't forget, the argument last week was Jack's quite young. He's into sci-fi, which is much faster paced nowadays.
No, I'm quite nervous that he won't Quantum Leap.
And it's possible that he won't.
Isn't it weird how you feel an ownership of a show when you recommend it to somebody? You feel almost like it's yours.
And
like
then
it's personal. And when they don't like it, you feel offended,
and then they'll feel like it's theirs after that.
Yes, it's weird how we get.
Maybe
very
we
possessive.
Need a backup suggestion. He likes his sci-fi.
Just in case Jack turns against Quantum Leap, we need a good sci-fi TV show.
Email us any suggestions. studio@theboxsetpod.com. That's studio@theboxsetpod.com. Also, would like to hear what funny thing have you seen in a TV show that you could not stop rewinding and playing? There's been a few for me in Modern Family when Cam does something and it's. He's so funny.
There's a great one in The Office, the American version of The Office, where one of the women in it is listening to the 50 Shades of Grey on audiobook and she's like seemingly getting aroused. So they throw a bucket of water over and then it gets confiscated, the audiobook, by Ed Helms as the boss.
Yeah.
And he starts listening to it and it's the timing. Yeah. Suddenly, like, you can see him getting aroused and then the bucket of water just flies over his head at just the right moment. And it's so funny. I rewound that about 50 times.
As we know from that, you have to have been there, really.
You have to be.
Same with Johnny. He has emailed us a clip of him watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Is that what it's called?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I haven't seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Andy Samberg starring.
But maybe you'll recognise this moment. What I'm playing it for, though, it's not great quality audio. He's just recorded it in his living room. It's the giggle. It's the giggle afterwards.
When is mine, you scab?
No, it's mine, Gina. I'm not backing down this time.
You know,
I'm backing up.
They're trying not to laugh because they know they're recording it for us. Says he's backing up and then he reverses like a truck into her.
I'm backing up.
Oh, yeah, best moments. Moments you constantly rewind and watch again in TV shows.
It doesn't have to make us laugh. Just times when you have rewound.
There's plenty of them in Game of Thrones, actually, I'm sure.
What funny moments?
Not funny moments, but moments, Howell.
I don't want to rewind anything I see in Game of Thrones. Wow. It disturbs me.
What? The scene... Well, I won't say
it. I love it, but it disturbs me.
There's some great erotic scenes, but there's a great death.
No, I'm not rewinding the erotic scenes.
There's a great death in there as well. That was happy.
Do you rewind the erotic scenes in Game... Howell, are you 14?
Howell, there's nothing wrong with admiring the female form, okay? We all do it. We all have urges. Now, what else is there?
Next week, we've got Marsha on, who's a wonderful woman who knows all about the in-betweeners. I just wanted to mention that. So, in-betweeners on next week. The other thing I think we need to do now is create a top 10 box set list.
Whoa, too
for
soon.
The website.
Too soon.
No, we need to do it, Jamie.
But we can't.
We need to at least pin our colours to the mast.
Okay,
right.
Next week I'll come with my list.
Come with your list
but
next week.
But we're going to argue. It's going to be a massive argument.
All right,
as long as we come in, accept each other's lists, and criticised a little bit, but right, accepted it's the other person's opinion.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're already arguing about the argument.
Oh, my God.
Studio at theboxsetpod.com. Your top five box sets ever. You have to give it an order. You can't love them all for different reasons, like children. You have to have a favourite. And we all know that if you've got children, you have a favourite child. Time for the news now.
Yeah, so if you go to theboxsetpod.com, you can go to the news icon /news. Go there and check out.
You're so good at explaining the website addresses.
You should hear some of your explanations, Howell.
Theboxsetpod.com.
It's like listening to constipation.
Theboxsetpod.com/news. Yeah, but I have to explain loads. All you have to do is get the news address
I have to listen to it all the time.
What is
it?
It's
a nightmare. Theboxsetpod.com/news. Okay, head there. All the latest news is there. Now, let me start you off. You're probably wondering what Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy is up to these days after his film bombed. Well, he's not just made Ted 2, he's making a new TV show, producing a show with Patrick Stewart. Oh. Patrick Stewart's going to be playing an eccentric British journalist called Walter Blunt. He's been given his own American talk show, okay? So the idea is he's a fictional character, it's a fictional world for this character, and he's going to it's going to be very comical, it's very online, because it's Seth MacFarlane, and it's going to sort of take the mickey out of talk shows in America. It's going to be on the American cable channel Stars, and there's a trailer, teaser trailer you can watch on our website on the news page. Check that out.
Click the link if you're listening on Acast.
Click the link. Also, the big news is winter is coming. Winter is coming. Game of Thrones Season 5. The trailer has been released. It's out in April. It's a 2-minute whopper of a trailer. That's on the website. You've got to check it out. It's an amazing trailer.
I saw that you'd put that up on the website.
Yeah.
I saw you tweet the link.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
Why?
Because I don't want to ruin anything for myself. I really genuinely don't want to see whether Tyrion's getting out of a barrel on a boat or not. I don't want any spoilers at all.
Really?
Yeah. I just want to watch it.
See, I love a good trailer. I love watching the potential plots that are coming up. Just a little, you know, a little tidbit of where the journey's heading with the story.
With a D. It's a
tit towel.
It's a tidbit.
And what a trailer it is. It looks amazing, epic. Season 4 for me was genuinely the best season of Game of Thrones. It's got better and better. And season 4, every episode was just brilliant, escapist, fantasy, drama, tense, end of the... Oh, it was just amazing. And I love Peter Dinklage. He's the best actor in the world. He's superb. Brilliant. Winter is coming. Check that out. Do want to mention as well, there's been a Walter White's appeared again, Breaking Bad's Walter White, in a Super Bowl advert. It was a Super Bowl last weekend.
Yeah.
It's like the adverts go crazy. It's like Christmas advert
season. We all know about Super Bowl.
And Bryan Cranston donned his yellow hazmat suit to do an advert for an insurance company.
Did he?
It's funny. It's on the website. Check him out. He's back in his costume.
Getting paid a lot of money.
Big news, Downton Abbey-wise. Now, apparently, this is what we're hearing.
Do you know how much money he was paid for that?
I would have no idea, but it would be a gazillion or so.
Yeah.
A gazillion and a half.
Because the advert, a 30-second advert for the Super Bowl costs $10 million, I think.
$30
million. Is it 30?
Something like that.
Well, he must have been, I reckon he was paid $10 million.
Probably paid a lot, and he goddamn deserves it for his work. Downton Abbey. So Downton Abbey's coming up to possibly the sixth and final season this year.
Yeah.
This is the final season, Downton Abbey. I have to say I'm not exactly surprised. Like, it turns out Julian Fellowes is working on a new project. It's about New York in the 19th century called The Gilded Age. Mm-hmm. He does love his period stuff, and he wants to do it in New York. So I noticed with the last season of Downton Abbey, which is currently on in America, season 5, it wasn't as good.
Right.
It lost its way.
Yeah.
I watched the 2-hour Christmas special.
Yeah.
It was boring.
If you listen to our Christmas special, you'll know my feelings about Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey, the first two seasons of Downton Abbey, maybe even the third, were really, really gripping drama. I genuinely will stand by Downton Abbey and say it's excellent TV.
Yeah.
But the fourth season, I feel like Julian Fellowes didn't give one. I feel like the characters are just like wandering around and are they going to go to jail or not? You know, it takes ages with the plots going nowhere. Mm. And I'm not surprised this is the final season, but a lot of people, including ITV, are going to be gutted that Downton is ending potentially.
Sometimes you bang on, Jamie, but sometimes you do get things wrong.
No, I never.
Yeah. You've said things in the past to me that's like, oh, this season isn't as good as the other. And it's like, what's he talking about when I watch it? Well, what's he talking about?
Well, you haven't watched any House. Great. You have no frame of reference, Donnie.
Right.
Also news, a lot of films get made into TV shows, as we know. This happens. Well, this one really ticked my box.
Yeah.
Really floated my caboose.
What's happened?
Uncle Buck. is coming to TV.
Yeah, but
this is the point I make. No, can he do it without John Candy and without a cute-looking little Macaulay Culkin? It could be a disaster. ABC's commissioned a pilot for Uncle Buck. I hope it works, but how can you do it without the wonderful
commissioning
John Candy?
A pilot's very different from. Yeah.
It might get cancelled. Yeah. And lastly, on the website, check out J.K. Rowling's book Casual Vacancy. It's been made into a TV drama. BBC have linked up with HBO to create Casual Vacancy, and the trailer is up there. It'll be on the BBC from the 15th of Feb. It's a 3 1-hour episodes. I have no idea what it's about because I've never read the book, but it's her first real adult fiction that she did, isn't it? And I know that they're doing a lot of her other works going to TV as well, but Casual Vacancy coming to TV this February, and the trailer is on the website. Check it out. The news is done.
That's the news. Well, I was just checking whether I've got any more notes, because I listen back to the podcast every week, and then I think...
We do forget what we're talking about. We're a lot like a couple of old men.
Yeah, exactly.
Signing our armchairs.
Speaking of old men.
Sucking our teeth.
David Oyelowo is on the way, talking about his new film. And we had Luke on last week, so should we get Fife on this week?
Yeah.
Please welcome to the Box Set Podcast, Fife Dangerfield. Beautiful, beautiful.
It didn't sound very clear on the last one. I hope that was a bit clearer.
Yeah, it was a little bit clearer. Could do with being a bit louder, I'll be honest.
Yeah, throw a bit of Glockenspiel in or something.
Them? I mean, what? Hang on. What?
Yeah, give them a good whacking.
Don't be afraid of just whacking the hell out of your wind chimes, all right?
You'll sound like someone in a really great therapy session.
Well, they're not really wind chimes. I don't know what they are. They're actually Greg's from Guillemots. I don't know how I've ended up with them in the house, but they're sort of like bells. They're like a half circle, yeah, like sort of half moon bells.
Well, either way, give him a smack.
So last time we spoke, you had waned slightly on Mad Men, and we told you to put your back into it.
Right, so.
So, guinea pig, Fife Dangerfield. You ignored us.
I hadn't really found the time to watch anymore, but I was planning to. But then I ended up doing a kind of an intense binge one weekend.
Oh,
on
something
the first
else.
Series of Homeland.
What?
So you've totally ditched Mad Men.
What kind of guinea pig are you?
I told you, if I'm going to do this thing, I'll be playing by my own rules. I take rules and I put them in my hand and I just blow them out of my hand.
You know what? I remember in the first podcast when we were talking about stuff you should watch, one of the first two, I remember suggesting Homeland to you because it got
Suits. Well, Jamie, you're a prophet.
And I remember arguing you down on that, and I said, Fife Dangerfield is far too erudite, he's far too intellectual, he's too creative for the popcorn excitement of Homeland.
Oh.
Yeah, but you see, then you get into the question of what do you want in a...
Yes.
In a box set.
It's a really good point. And you want, sometimes you're at different stages of your life or your day or your week, you want something different to watch.
Yeah, you want to stuff
your
face.
Like, I generally, when I think of watching TV as opposed to films, like generally, not always, but I guess I quite often you think of something to just sort of, you know,
distract you.
Well, you know, yeah, just sort of softly entertain you, but, you know, I don't think you want intense challenges all of the time.
Not all the time, no.
But as I said last time as well, I wasn't feeling that Mad Men was whacking me around the face anyway.
What do you think of Homeland then?
Yeah,
Hang on. We can't move on. We can't move on to Homeland yet.
We can't. He's binged it. I want to know what he thinks.
We will find out what he thinks. But first, I feel like Mad Men is the jilted ex-lover here who's hardly been given... word of goodbye.
I admit, he's just gone.
Do you know what? I've got a new girlfriend now. We've got what happened to the other one? Yeah, go, oh, let's talk about the new one.
You've totally ditched this poor girlfriend that we set you up with.
Here's what I want to know: Okay, let's pretend I am Mad Men. Okay,
do you have a stake in Mad Men? Are you a writer of it or something? Is this?
I have a stake in you, Fife. I have a stake
essentially to get people to watch Mad Men.
Fife, as people know, we picked you up off the street at the beginning of this podcast. A man who had never seen a box set in his life.
The street of success. obsessed.
And we said we're going to force feed this guinea pig.
And let me ask you this:
seriously good art, right?
And what did we say?
What did we say? We said you have to stick with it.
Yeah, and we said
No, you didn't. You said you have to watch at least 4 episodes.
Oh, we did, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's what he said, and that's what I did.
Oh,
and
you know
what? I said to you, I think we also said
you have to make it to the end of this first series.
I think you did.
Well, we might have done, but you know what? Our rule is 4 episodes, then you can make a decision.
That's true.
And you know what? If we're going by that rule, Fife watched 4,
yeah,
went on 4 dates.
Yeah.
They struck out every time.
Fife, I am madman. Tell me, where did I go wrong?
Break
it to me gentle, darling.
You didn't do anything wrong, but you're on your live once, and I saw someone else who attracted me in a different way, and we ended up having an intense weekend together.
Yeah, definitely intercourse.
Well, you know, let me tell you what I think back. You have thrown away me, the complex, intelligent, deep...
But is it?
Yes, it's amazing! It's amazing. It's the best TV. Look, what you've turned your back on is the best lover you will ever have. And you've turned your back on her for a bit of fun with Britney. That's what you've done.
Maybe, but I'm, you know, at any point I can go back. And the advantage of turning box sets into people is that they can't refuse you. Homeland offered something that Mad Men couldn't have done.
What made you pick it?
Why did you pick Homeland?
Why did it catch your eye?
We were looking through... I'm not making it clear if we means me and my partner. I'm just talking about myself in the royal sense. But we're looking through Netflix.
Yeah.
And there was Homeland. It was like, oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
And did you remember that I mentioned it to you?
I did remember that, yeah.
All right, that's good.
No, he didn't.
And I thought, let's do it. Let's do Homeland.
What do you think?
But the thing is, I mean, I thought it was very good. I don't think it's as you're making it sound like it was,
cheap, hussy.
Dawson's Creek or something.
Yeah, he's wrong.
I
it's not cheap.
Dawson's Creek. So.
Yeah,
Dawson's Creek is awful.
Amazing. Yeah.
But how all is wrong? Homeland isn't just popcorn fun. It is quite very intense, very political. It's very it's a thinking man's 24.
That's not saying much.
No, I mean, I feel like Homeland was somewhere. Yeah, it wasn't something that I thought this is stunning, you know. It wasn't something where the script, you know, bits of the script I think were a little bit expositional,
as
people might say, and so on. But it's good. The strand of it that interests me the most is the Claire Danes character. Yeah. I think she's kind of the main character. Would you say that?
Definitely. Really, Claire Danes is the main. Yeah, definitely. She's the character. It's all based around her journey.
And I think that obsessional streak in someone is a really interesting thing. Well, and especially, you know, combined with the fact that she has this bipolar thing, and you know, that's often the case, isn't it? If someone, I don't know what the appropriate word is, if someone is in that state, then actually maybe a lot of the time, when they're in a certain half of that, they're more tuned in. Like, I thought that was really interesting, the episode where she isn't on her medication and is so sort of manic, but actually seeing things
too clearly to
be able to sort of cope almost. But and I think that's, I don't know, I think that's an interesting sort of theme to have in a programme. I
agree, absolutely, yeah.
I also really like Beardy Man. I can't remember his name. He's very good actor.
Damien Lewis. Oh, no, you mean Saul.
No, not Damien Lewis. I mean, he's good, but yeah, Saul. The Saul guy.
Mandy Patinkin.
That's right, yeah.
I hate when you breathe out your nose.
arrogant snort.
Jamie's arrogant breathe. I hate the way you breathe arrogantly. good. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
It's great. Okay.
I still want you to.
Much to you. I'll try and resurrect my relationship.
Yeah, please do.
Are you banning me from talking to Luke now at the same time?
after the Christmas special, which took me 3 hours to edit. Yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think we both connected. I'd like to, you know. I'd like to feel that, you know, we're allowed once a month or something.
Month, maybe. All right.
Once
then.
An Equinox.
I mean, I'll try and get him on, right? We can have a quick moment together.
Really?
In fact, Fife, why don't you just talk to him?
Quite exciting. Well, no, I wouldn't want to do that alone.
Just say hi, it's Fife.
Like, yes. Hey, Luke, I thought we'd be getting to know each other better off the air.
Just say that. That's a great idea.
Hello.
It's Fife. Howell and Jamie are now being funny and being silent. I'm doing my recording thing with them. I was just saying, you know.
Oh, hi, Fife, yeah. So it's just me and
I
you.
I hope they'll be allowed to talk to you again. You know, I enjoyed our talk at Christmas, and I feel like Howell and Jamie... Well, Howell especially, maybe, is trying to keep us apart, like some kind of...
It's just nice to hear you both chatting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It becomes a bit complicated with you
all. Yeah, so.
With everyone chatting at once. Luke, why don't you have a word with Fife about Mad Men?
I'm up to season 7 of Mad Men.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've watched the first half of season 7. Obviously, the second half is due this year. There's much speculation over how it will end. But yeah, you know, Mad Men's one of those shows, Fife, where you got to watch it, and then you've kind of it's a commitment because it's so very slow.
Right. Yeah. See, this is what Howell and Jamie are saying to me as well. Well, Howell anyway. I don't think Jamie's so bothered, really.
Why don't you tell him what you've done, Fife?
I stopped watching it after 5.5 episodes, and I've watched the whole first series of Homeland instead.
You know what, Fife? I can almost forgive that. Like,
really?
I don't think you should be judged on that decision. You've not broken a box set commandment. You've given it more than
exactly.
4 episodes. So,
exactly.
You know, but Helen and Jamie can't, you know, castrate you for that, so to speak. But for me, I feel as though I get it. After 5 episodes, nothing's moving. It's still very much waiting for the paint to dry, and I get it, Fife. I get it.
But do you think I should go back to it?
I think eventually, yes. I think if you're already enthralled in Homeland, I would never make the move back from Homeland to Mad Men straight away. Stick with Homeland. It's more high octane. There's more sex. Actually, there's not more sex. But yeah, no, basically, I think so. Mad Men eventually return to. But, you know, at the end of the day, Don Draper will wait for you.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm just going to have to consider all this.
Fife, Luke has got the shortest attention span in history, and he's halfway through season 7. That should tell you everything that you need to know. And, you know, when... Yeah. That's...
Well, that implies that I have a shorter attention span than him.
Which can't be true. It's impossible.
Well, we're just going to have to see, aren't we? I mean, you know, anything could happen.
Good. Certainly, I think if... what this has become now... I potentially could have let you drop Mad Men and walk away, but what it's become now is an experiment into if we make Fife finish it.
Yeah, but I get if he's in 5 episodes of season 1 and he's kind of already given up, I feel as though he isn't going to come back one day and think, God, you're right. I think I'll come back one day and think, God, what a waste of time.
Do you think it's too late?
Perspective. I never gave up on it. Yeah. I was intending to watch the next things, but then... You know, one day passed and I was doing something else and another, and before you knew it, it was a week.
Luke,
are
you saying if you don't like it enough in 5 episodes, you're never going to like it enough?
I think potentially that is what I'm saying. And also, you have to understand, and Helen, Jamie, this is quite important. Fife is a musician, right? His brain is all over the place. He's constantly thinking of jingles and harmonicas and all that, right?
That is so true.
He can't concentrate for longer periods of time because he has to do the next project.
Because I like things that are slow moving.
This is what's
going to
get Fife back into it.
Moving.
What's going to get Fife back into it is Luke making him out as this like short attention span weirdo. That's what's going to make him get back into it.
At the end of the day, Fife, she's always a woman to me.
Thanks, Luke. Well, I mean, she is to me too. You know. And
have you made Luke a jingle yet? A trombone.
I haven't actually, no. Oh. No, I'm sorry.
Get on with it.
I've been
really
busy giving up on Mad Men.
I mean, if you think of any more requests to be on the trombone, maybe give me a few more pointers and I'll try and do that.
We'll just start with that for starters, Fife. Clearly you're a quitter.
I am not a quitter. If I'm anything, it's not that.
All right, well, thanks very much, Fife. Thank you, Luke. And
can I just say as well, just very quickly, it's great to be back on this, because having listened to the past 3 or 4 podcasts, I thought we'd be back.
Well, you know, just thought we'd give Fife time to finish Mad Men.
How don't get me wrong, Dad. I was excited about the prospect of never doing this again.
You love it. Don't play that card.
I'm glad we're back. Oh, Jamie, nice to hear you.
Yeah, nice to hear him. He's not spoken for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a long chat.
Good, right. Well, as usual, looking forward to editing this one.
Good.
31 minutes down to 7. Thanks, guys.
I've enjoyed this one the most, actually. This has been good.
Have you? Maybe I'll send you the full version.
No, you don't want that.
Yeah, I'll just fall asleep listening to it every night.
Right, okay, so any response to Fife being a quitter, email us studio@theboxsetpod.com. We will get that correspondence to him next week. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So we are just waiting to speak to David Oyelowo, who was in Spooks, or MI5 as it's known in America, because apparently that is a racist term in America. What a bizarre, it's a weird thing, isn't it?
Mm.
If you've got a title of something that is offensive.
In another place, could be a rude language.
Imagine if you found out that Jamie
was meant to...
Why would you go there? In Istanbul. Imagine that.
Imagine if my name... Yeah, yeah.
So, hello, my name's Jamie.
And they were all like, "Ah, you called yourself Jamie."
And they just smacked you around the face.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be nice.
But well, I mean, they just said, "Who are you?" And you said, "Jamie." David Oyelowo, right? I've watched a YouTube video of him. I'm going to try and avoid talking about this. YouTube video of David Oyelowo standing in a church, a gospel church in America, talking about getting the part of... He was doing a speech, but he was playing Martin Luther King. He knew he was going to be playing it. And he was saying that he knew he'd be playing this part because God
told him
that he was going to be playing it
a
few years ago. Whatever I am, I don't believe that there is a God that can talk to us. But
doesn't mean there isn't one, and he can't talk to us, and he wouldn't say, "You're going to play Martin Luther King."
However, if God had spoken to somebody that directly, you'd think it was bigger news.
You'd also think...
You'd think we'd have heard about it.
You'd also think we got.
Yeah.
Has he really got the time
to talk to David Oyelowo
to tell you
and tell him
to tell you you've got another, you've got a role, you're going to play Martin Luther King in a film?
Exactly.
I mean, why? Surely God, there's like 9 billion people on the planet. Is he really going to take the time out to tell you you're going to get a great role in 10 years' time?
If I was David Oyelowo, my story would be: God told me I was going to play Martin Luther King, and I said back to him, "You've got seriously more important shit to be dealing with.
Why are you telling me this? Go and deal with that issue in, I don't know, a country."
But obviously, I don't want to offend him, so do I ask him about
that? No, we don't.
We've got 7 minutes.
Oh, 7 minutes. We don't want to put his back up. We want to be nice. We want to sweet talk him. We want to talk about Spooks, because it was a legendary show. Not just here, but it was big in America. So we want to talk to him about Spooks a bit. And, of course, we have to talk about his new film. And just in general, talk about, maybe get a bit of Oprah Winfrey chat in there.
Yeah. Good, all right. Well, here he comes.
Hi, guys.
David!
Hi, David!
How are you doing, David?
I'm very well. How are you?
Very good. How lovely to meet you.
So we've been using the clip of Brad Pitt pronouncing your name to make sure we got it right. David Oyelowo.
That, wow, look at that.
There you go.
And you learned it from Brad Pitt. That's how I know I'm going up in the world, you guys.
David, you had a decision to make post-drama school, I would imagine, where you said I could change my name. I had the same thing. I went to drama school, director, thank you. And my name's Howell, spelled H-Y-W-E-L. Could have made the decision to change. I didn't make the decision to change.
Look at him now.
Brad Pitt has not sung my name yet. What's gone wrong?
Well, you didn't play Martin Luther King in a movie. That's where you went wrong.
That's true.
That'll do it.
That will do it.
Yeah.
So how was this? I have heard that you are an incredibly committed method man. Is it true? Did you do the full Daniel Day-Lewis? Did you stay in character 24/7 for this?
You know what? I did. And, you know, I wouldn't describe myself as a method actor necessarily, but I actually experienced Daniel Day-Lewis, his genius on Lincoln. Yeah, I have a scene with him in that film. And, you know, I had known that Selma and playing Dr. King was going to be a part of my future. And having seen just how effective it was for him to stay in character, to be as immersed and as committed as he was doing that film, I just felt to have experienced a brilliant actor doing that and not just fully throw myself in feet first and try and see what it does would be irresponsible, really, because it's such an incredible opportunity. And so even though it was a bit weird, especially for my wife, who felt like she was having an affair for 3 months.
With Abraham Lincoln. What was
it? With Abraham Lincoln. Now that would be going some.
That would
I
be good.
I was Dr. King on set, and then I was Abraham Lincoln at home.
At home, wow. We were Dr. King pretending to be Abraham Lincoln for David Oyelowo's wife.
Now, there's a challenge. So, yeah, maybe next time. But yeah, you know, I did stay in character, and I have to say it paid dividends because, you know, the byproduct of it was that I never second-guessed choices I was making while we were shooting.
So how do you then interact? Surely you must have 3 or 4 people a day who don't know that come up to you and go, David! Or someone walks with, Dave!
Well, you know, I stopped short of doing the full DDL, the full Daniel Day-Lewis, of saying you've got to call me a President Lincoln. You know, people still called me David, but I you know, I basically sort of kept him parboiled. I stayed in the voice and I sort of had his bearing, but I just felt it would be too much to be asking my kids to call me Dr. King. That would be weird.
That's great. That must cut out so much wastes of concentration and things, because on films you're in and out of the trailer and there's so much waiting and all of that. It must really save a lot of energy in a way to make that effort.
You know what? It takes a lot of energy to stay in character. I mean, like, literally, you know, to just constantly just stay. You know, you wake up in the morning and, of course, you just want to be yourself. And I would get picked up by the driver and boom, you're in. You know, you're him. Mm. And that's it was beneficial for the film, but it was exhausting. I was very happy to walk away from doing that when the film was done.
It's been an amazing journey you've been on. I mean, from like starting off, I mean, Spooks was a massive starting point for you. That was one of the biggest first roles for you, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, unequivocally. It was where my screen career began, really. So, you know, I owe Spooks a lot because it's really where I learned about screen acting.
Maybe I'm growing up really quick, but to me, it still seems quite recent that there was this new TV series called Spooks, or MI5 in America. Does it feel to you like things have happened very fast?
You're clearly stuck in time, my friend.
That
was 10, maybe 11, I think even 12 years ago. I had the most shocking thing happen the other day. Yeah. I was at the premiere of Selma here in London, and a guy came up to me, you know, had his hipster beard, clearly a guy in his mid-20s, and went, "Oh, I've been watching you since I was 11 on Spooks." I was like, "What? What are you talking about since you were 11? Oh, geez, did that age me? So anyway, but no, it was a while ago. You know, I've lived in America for nearly 8 years now, and I think Spooks, I certainly left it about 12 years ago.
And since then, you've done, like you said, you did Lincoln, you've done Interstellar, you did The Butler, and Paperboy, and then, of course, Last King of Scotland. And now you're working, you know, with Selma, you work with Oprah Winfrey and Brad Pitt, both producing it. That's an incredible
thing. Yeah, some nice up-and-comers.
Where do you go from there? That's like Tom Cruise and Steven Spielberg producing the next. No, you've already done Steven. So.
I've already worked with Tom, and in fact, I had a moment doing Lincoln and Jack Reacher. I shot those films at the same time,
Jesus.
And I was with Daniel Day-Lewis and Spielberg by day, and then I went and did a car chase with Tom Cruise and Chris McQuarrie directing by night. So done those. Any more boys? Who's next?
Is there anyone you still want to work with?
I think Scorsese would certainly be up there. That would be a
and then you've got the full pack
thing.
And you can quit.
Yeah, exactly. I just retire, sit at home.
What was the reaction like amongst the Selma camp to the Oscars? Because Selma kind of missed out in a lot of ways, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's the best reviewed film of the year, officially. I mean, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, the critic aggregator.
I love that. I follow Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, 99%. So, you know, and the film's making a bunch of money at the box office. People are loving it. So, you know, we did our bit is the only thing I can say. To be honest, the BAFTAs upset me more than the Academy Awards.
Really?
To be a British actor. To have four of the main characters be British, for it to be Pathé, who's a British company producing it, and at least we got two nominations at the Academy Awards. We didn't get a single one at BAFTA.
That is bizarre.
I don't even know what to say about that. But hey, you know, people are loving the film, and we'll have to take that for now.
I'm surprised Oprah's not kicked off though and done some damage. You don't want to mess with Oprah Winfrey.
No,
you really don't. You really don't. By the way, you know, I've seen both sides.
Have you?
Have
you seen Oprah angry?
You know what? She's never upset on her own behalf, but on my behalf when it came to all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, you know that's a mother bear right there.
Wow. David, we've got to go. I think I just heard a little thing in my ear. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you. And we will tweet you, okay? You've got to tweet us.
Oh, please do.
All right.
Please do.
Look
out for it. Get social media going.
Yes.
Are you on Twitter, David?
Of course not.
Oh, right. Forget it. You're acting with Tom Cruise.
We'll open you an account, okay? We'll be your Twitter. We'll be your tweeter.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
That was David Yellowo. Nice guy.
I liked him.
Didn't mention God.
He didn't mention God. No, I'm glad.
But he nearly did.
He nearly did. There was a hint of when because he did kind of suggest that he
said, I knew I would be playing the part.
I knew I'd be playing the part.
What?
Yeah. We could have pushed him on it. I'm glad we did.
I didn't. I purposely didn't.
Yeah.
You just think, don't go down.
I just want to say to any of our religious listeners, we believe in your religion.
We believe in everything you believe in.
Okay.
100%.
Just keep listening, okay?
All right. So.
But a really nice guy. I thought it was fascinating, the Oprah stuff, actually. You know, how much she was annoyed by the Oscar nomination.
I'd like to know more. I'd like to know. 7 minutes isn't enough.
Never is.
Why don't you carry on for me? So what was it like? How did Oprah kick off? What did she do?
She flipped a table, Howell.
She flipped a table?
She flipped over five tables.
Really?
Yeah, in a restaurant. And then she went after Jack Nicholson with her shoe.
Jesus.
Because she blames Jack for some reason. She says he should have voted for her. She just realised that, you know, Jack was stoned that day.
See you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.